Narayana Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 5, entitled Durvasa Muni's Life Spared, text number 6. Nama sunaba kila dharma setave.
Nama sunaba kila dharma setave.
Yadharma shirasura dhumma ketave.
Yadharma shirasura dhumma ketave.
Trailokya gopaya visuddha vachase.
Trailokya gopaya visuddha vachase.
Mano javaya bhuta karma negrine.
Mano javaya bhuta karma negrine.
All respectful obeisances unto you.
All respectful obeisances unto you.
Sunaba,
Sunaba,
O you who have an auspicious hub,
O you who have an auspicious hub,
Akila Dharma Setave,
Akila Dharma Setave,
whose spokes are considered to be a breach of the entire universe,
whose spokes are considered to be a breach of the entire universe,
indeed,
Adharma Shila,
Adharma Shila, who are irreligious,
Asura,
for the demons,
Dhumaketave,
unto you, who are like fire, or an inauspicious comet, Trailokya,
of the three material worlds,
Gopaya,
the
maintainer, Vishuddha, transcendental, Virchasi, whose effulgence, Manajivaya, as speedy as the mind, Adbhuta, wonderful, Kurmane, so active, Grine, I simply utter. O Sudarshan, you have a very auspicious hub, and therefore you are the upholder of all religion. You are just like an inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You are as quick as the mind, and you are able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word Namaha, offering all obeisances unto you. The disc of the Lord is called Sudarshan because he does not discriminate between high and low criminals or demons. Durvasa Muni was certainly a powerful Brahmana, but his acts against pure devotee Maharaj Ambarish were no better than the activities of Asuras. As stated in the Shastras, Dhammam tu saksat bhagavat pranitam. The word Dharma refers to the orders or laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharma parichayamamekam saranam vraja. Real dharma is surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, real dharma means bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord. The Sudarshan Chakra is here addressed as Dharma Setave, the protector of dharma. Maharaj Ambarish was a true religious person, and consequently for his protection, the Sudarshan Chakra was ready to punish even such a strict brahmana as Durvasa Muni because he's acted like a demon. There are demons even in the form of brahmanas. Therefore, the Sudarshan Chakra does not discriminate between brahmana demons and sudra demons. Anyone against the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees is called a demon. In the Shastras, we find many brahmanas and kshatriyas who acted as demons and have been described as demons. According to the verdict of the Shastra, one is to be understood according to his symptoms. If one is born of a Brahmana father, but his symptoms are demoniac, he is regarded as a demon. The Sudarshan Chakra is always concerned with annihilating the demons. Therefore, he is described as Adharma Shila Sura Duma Ketare. Those who are not devotees are called Adharma Shila. The Sudarshan Chakra is just like an inauspicious comet for all such demons.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Ginandana Salakaya Shakshuru Vitam Nina Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavrastam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Sigurau Situpada Kamalam Sigurum Vaishnavamstha Sirupam Sagrajatam Sagina Raghunatham Vidam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sagadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagina Lalita Sri Sakam Vidam Sajiva Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Giradhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I wanted to look at Devasa Muni and what brought him to the offense. And I was thinking that it kind of happened in the natural course of events, and his actions seemed to make perfect sense. Basically, it all began that Durvasa Muni was in the bodily concept of life. And because he was in the bodily concept of life, he considered it very important that he was a Brahmana and that he was a great recognized sage. And therefore, an inferior person, a kshatriya, an inferior, was not offering him due respect. And that was just outrageous, and it's just like, and this kshatriya was sort of greatly accepted by people in general as a very exalted personality. And clearly he wasn't, because just the simple things, like offering respect to a Brahmana, even that he could not do. And therefore, Devasa Muni became angered and thought, I'll teach him a lesson. I mean, I'll teach the world a lesson. I'll show the world, really, what the true position is of this person. Then he cursed him. And, of course, he got carried away at that stage by anger and was aiming to kill Maharaj Ambarish, which didn't quite work. And then, of course, therefore his action is counting as demoniac. But it's interesting how it just came from the bodily concept of life. And it is due to the bodily concept of life that we are becoming offensive. Because the bodily concept of life means I and mine, aham mameti. It means my feelings, my needs, my possessions, my interest, and yours is conflicting. Yeah. And therefore, so many problems arise. So, although Durvasa Muni was a powerful Brahmana, and as a powerful Brahmana, he had great mystic powers, so he was like a very powerful person, way beyond an ordinary person. But still, due to the bodily concept of life, he was prone to fall down, because that is the nature. Then one falls down in certain situations. It gets out of control, one becomes overwhelmed by the conditions of life. And whether it's overwhelmed by lust, overwhelmed by greed, overwhelmed by envy, overwhelmed by anger, whatever it may be, but one becomes overwhelmed. You know, and that's what happened. So, therefore, it's not just that we're looking at Durvasa Muni as a special case. You know, he was such a case, somehow or other, he made this big offense. No. He was simply in the bodily concept of life, like so many others. Possibly even we, to an extent, are in the bodily concept of life. That means we are also prone to making offenses. Then the risk is there that somehow or other, inadvertently, it also happens. Some neglect. We saw Indra was seated on his throne, and, you know, Indra was Indra. He's the Lord of the entire universe. He's Indra, extremely powerful, qualified, pious Indra. You know, I mean, not just anybody, Indra. You know, I'm Indra. And surrounded by all kinds of celestial beings who are just glorifying him. Indra, Indra, our Savior, Indra, wonderful qualities. Indra, Indra, always surrounded by those who glorify him. Indra, Indra. And then, yeah, he sort of began to like it. Yes, Indra, Indra, yes. Say it again, Indra, Indra, Indra. And just as he was sort of relishing with his eyes closed, his spiritual master arrived and he didn't offer any respect. Again, Indra committed an offense. So these offenses are very, they creep upon us, you know, they sort of happen quite easily. What to do? So we are, therefore, in order to avoid them, it's not enough to be alert, you know, and just, I'll be alert, I'll try to not commit any of the offenses. No, it means one has to really change one's mood. And get off the bodily platform and begin to see everyone. Vitya Vinaya Sampane Brahman Gavi Hasni Sumichaya Swapakacha Pandita Samadarashina. To see everyone equal as a spiritual being and everyone eligible to deserve the mercy of Krishna. And that has nothing to do with a person's external qualifications. That means material qualifications. The simple one qualification that is required is a sincere service attitude. And that will do. That is the one qualification which makes someone special. So many people want to be special. So many people claim to be special. So many people feel that they are special, but actually one who has a sincere service attitude is really special. That is the essence. We see that that Durvasa Muni was a powerful Brahmana, and that meant that he was in control of his senses. He was able to renounce sense gratification, and as a result, he had attained so many benedictions. A Brahmana is known for his tapas, for his austerity. Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmanas. So Durvasa had performed great austerity, and therefore he had great power. He could bless, he could curse, and the Lord would uphold his curses or his blessings. But this time, he got into a different realm, not in the realm of karma. Normally he was operating in the realm of karma with people who were involved with karma, with karmic activities. But Maharaj Ambarish was beyond the realm of karma. Maharaj Ambarish was completely on the transcendental platform, on the platform of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, we see Krishna did not tolerate, he did not tolerate this kind of behavior even from a great exalted personality. Of course, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are that one should offer respects to all living beings, not only to the devotees, but to all living beings. Everyone should be treated with respect. It says one should not do to another what one doesn't want to be done to himself. So that is a standard. And others also said one can recognize a great man by how he treats a small man. I try to remember that. You know, it's not always easy, because the mind just thinks, you know. But we must give respect to everyone, everyone somehow or other. So that is that's important. So, because you never know who someone is. Sometimes great devotees are hiding themselves, they're not revealing their identity. Sometimes an apparently ordinary devotee, if there is such a thing, can be actually a very advanced devotee. So it's not always that one immediately on the outside can recognize. So just respectful to all this. After all, every living being has the Supreme Lord in his heart. And therefore, every living being carries the Supreme Lord. Therefore, every living being is naturally serving the Supreme Lord, and every living being is a devotee. Therefore, every living being is to be respected. Although it is said that some are worshipping the Lord avidipurvakam in the wrong way. In the said, those who worship Anya Devata, they also worship me, actually, Krishna says. But they do it in the wrong way. So, ultimately, everyone is within Krishna's plan. So that kind of mood is the mood that you see in the topmost devotees. They can fully realize it. They are really Pandita Samadars, you know. They can see everyone equal, give respect to everyone. And everyone else cannot, but at least is trying to be respectful to everyone. That is our business. Somehow we cannot just really from our heart be totally respectful towards everyone. In so many cases we may think, who's this, who's that, the mind. The topic of committing offenses and avoiding offenses is such a it's a heavy topic. It's kind of the serious side of Krishna consciousness. Right? It is the one thing that can hold us back, and that we have to keep in mind. Still, It cannot be our primary meditation. You're always thinking, I might be offensive. How do I avoid being offensive? Am I not offensive? And basically, we're just constantly thinking about offense. There must also, we are trying to be respectful, and then automatically, everything is avoided. Then we don't have to live in constant alertness, and we can rather focus on the positive. I was reading about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who returned from Gaya. And when he returned from Gaya, he was in a very ecstatic mood. He was meeting some of the devotees, and he was sharing them with them how he had been, by the grace of the Lord, to Gaya, the place where the lotus feet of the Lord are being washed. And what great fortune that is. It says that in Gaya once the Supreme Lord appeared and left a footprint in the rock, and that footprint is ever since constantly being washed, like with milk and various ways and water, and in this way the bathing of that feet. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking about that good fortune, the water that had touched the lotus feet of the Lord. He said, the Ganges is glorified because of the water that has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. And even Lord Shiva, he kept that water on his head. Such a great blessing, as he said. I got that water of the lotus feet of the Lord. And he was getting very ecstatic, and his hair stood on end, and all the devotees were just amazed to see that Nimai had become such a devotee. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sriman Pandit that he should tell all the devotees that the next day he would meet them in the house of Suklambar Brahmachari. So Sriman Pandit went to meet all the devotees, and there was one place where the devotees could be found. They had their communication, like devotee communication, something like pemho.net, please, Pemho, please accept my humble obeisances. And the devotees have that network called pemho.net. There they could get their information. And where was it? In the courtyard of the house of Srivas, there was a tree which was like somehow or other transcendental, because that tree was always producing flowers. It would never end. Just unendingly, flowers would grow on that tree. So the devotees would every day come there and get and pick flowers for their puja. So it was the natural meeting place of the devotees around that tree. So Sriman Pandit went there to the tree. Mundane people in the Indian village life, they would meet at the well. This is more comparative to Facebook. Sort of, especially ladies would be found at wells, as on Facebook also. And somehow or other, and everyone's on Facebook, especially lots of ladies are active on Facebook. So the well was more than the source of water, also the source of information. So, but for the devotees, it was a transcendental place, and they were there for a transcendental purpose. And the news was also transcendental. Sriman Pandit said, it's amazing. Nimai Pandit became a devotee. And he became such a devotee when he was describing the water of the lotus feet of the Lord in Gaya. He became so ecstatic, his hair stood on end. He was just beyond himself. And he said so many tears came from his eyes. They came from every corner of his eyes, you know, from the outside, the inside, everywhere. The tears were coming in huge quantities. So all the devotees were amazed. They were quite ecstatic about the whole thing. And then Srivas Pandit, he said, Gotra Nuvardatam Iti. He said, may our gotra, may our family increase, may it get. And all the devotees said, tatastu, tatastu, so be it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta commented that generally this is the blessing of the smarta brahmanas who are performing karma kanda. They always say, let it be, yes, so be it, you know, tatastu, yes, let it come true, let it come to pass, yes, because they always look for blessings in this world. So we can see that Devasa Muni was also tatastu, tatastu, such kind of personality. But this time the devotees said, tatastu, tatastu, let it be so. Let the gotra, let the family of the Lord be spread all over the world. Now there are different gotras and brahmanas. They trace back their family lineage to ancient sages such as Gautama Muni, and then the brahmanas in that lineage of Gautama Muni carrying the title Gautam. Or some are traced back to Parasara Muni, and they carry the title Parasar. Or there are those who are tracing their family lineage back to Bhrigu Muni, they are known as Bhargavas. Yeah, so like that, the brahmanas, they have their family lineage. It goes back to like the earlier parts of the universe exists. So they trace their family lineage very back a long, long way. But then there is the family of the devotees, which is traced back even further. Because the gotra, the family lineage of the devotees, is known as the Achyuta Gotra. That is the family lineage of the Supreme Lord. And that family is Achyuta Gotra. Achyuta means infallible, is faultless, the perfect family lineage. So let us increase, Srivas said, let us increase this family lineage, yes, the Achyuta Gotra, and not all these other gotras where various brahmanas belong to, because they may with great pride claim that they belong to a certain gotra, but that will not help them. Of course, you know, to come in such a Brahminical tradition means that one grows up with knowledge of how to understand the absolute truth, but it's not pure devotional service and not good enough. The risk of falling down remains, as we can see. Only devotees are perfectly safe by dint of devotional service. Only devotees are protected. So then, the next day, all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who heard that he will be in the house of Suklambar Brahmacharya, they went there to see the miracle of Nimai, who had now become a devotee. And then it said that Nimai, he was, as soon as he saw the devotees, he began to glorify devotional service. And he began to recite verses, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, like Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. That one should give up all sense of designation, all upadhi. No longer think, I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Sudra, I am from this country, this community, that community, I am tall, I am short, I am skinny, I am fat, I am intelligent, I am a fool. All these designations are to be forgotten. Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam, liberate oneself from all these designations. Tatparatvena Nirmalam. Then we can become Nirmala, faultless. Then we become due members of the faultless family lineage of the Supreme Lord. So one cannot just by declaration say, now I belong to the family lineage of the Lord. No, one has to be Sarvupadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam. One has to be faultless, to be part of a faultless family lineage. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. By engaging all the senses and the intelligence in the service of the Supreme Lord, then we become faultless. So, in this way, the devotees were heard the Lord recite various prayers. Also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta mentions Anyabhilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadiyana Vrita Dhamma Anukuryena Krishnanam Shiranam Bhakti Uttama. He also quotes that verse as if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that verse. It's not like sure because it's Rupa Goswami's verse, but maybe he said it, maybe not. Or maybe Srila Bhaktisiddhanta just indicates this is the mood. Such kind of verses describing pure devotional service, no other desire, devoid of other desire. No desire to enjoy the material energy, no desire to escape the material energy, no desire for liberation. Just taking the, not thinking, oh, this world is such a hellish place, we gotta get out of here. No, janmani, janmani svare bhavatat bhakti rahitaki. Let me take birth after birth in this material world in your devotional service. Svarga pavarka narakeshu apituryakta darshina. What is hell? What is heaven? You know, when I'm engaged in your service, and then it is fine. So in that spirit of pure devotional service, Lord Chaitanya recited such kind of prayers. And he began, and as he recited these prayers, he became more and more ecstatic, more and more ecstatic. And in the house of Suklamba, he stood up and he became so overwhelmed by ecstasy that he was about to fall over. So he grabbed one of the columns of the house. And I guess sort of bamboo columns, you know, not such strong columns. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hanging on the column of the house and his hair stood on end. He was totally ecstatic. And then at one point, he was just so forcefully overwhelmed by ecstatic symptoms that he fell over with the entire column and crashed with the column to the ground. And when all the devotees saw that, they also became totally ecstatic and they also fell over. Said, and nobody knew who fell on top of who. I was reading that as totally ecstatic, right? So, such an ecstatic description, right, of like the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who just fall over in ecstasy and they're all falling on top of each other and nobody knows who's falling on top of who. So this is what is on the devotee's mind. And such devotees, they are Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam, they are Nirmalam, they are free from any fault because they are always glorifying everyone. And they're always seeing good in everyone. and therefore they are bees who look for the honey. So how nice to hear about such things, and therefore we understand that although a Brahmana is a very exalted personality, if such a Brahmana is not a devotee, then all his piety also is simply leading him astray. And yes, yasti bhakti bhagavati rakinchana sarvir gunais tata samasati sara arava bhaktasyo sarava bhaktasyo kuto mahat guna mano ratina sati tavatu bahi. That one may have all good qualities, but if he's not a devotee of the Lord, then surely he will be taken away in the chariot of the mind, and he will go astray, he will lose these good qualities, whereas a devotee will develop all the good qualities of the demigods. So that is the point. So it is that that spirit, Sarvopadi Viniyam Uttam Tatparatvena Niyamdalam, to give up all the upadis, that is what we do, all designations, I am, you know. And it's subtle, you know, it's like I can say I am Dutch, and for Dutch people it's different, you know, it's different, Krishna consciousness, no, it is, yeah. It is different, right? Because I'm Dutch, therefore it's different. Okay, you know, because Dutch people, they have a hard head. That's a well-known fact. And what to do? Therefore, surrender is different for a Dutchman, you see, yeah? Logically. Because a Dutchman is very stubborn, so therefore surrender is more difficult. You know, there's a special handicap, I can say. Yeah. So because that there's the special handicap, then we also want a special concession. See, special handicap goes in special concession. So see, I'm Dutch and therefore it's different for me. Someone else may say, well, I'm British and it's hard to chant because I have a stiff upper lip. This is our rasa. But this was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, I'll get you
back. Well, I first spoke about the Dutch. Now, but everyone can think of some reason why it's especially difficult for me to be Krishna conscious. Yeah? You know, and they say, but it is the same for everyone. It is the same. There is the same opportunity for everyone. And it is for everyone difficult to give up all the upadis. Extremely difficult. It's difficult to stop thinking of being Dutch or whatever. You know, it's difficult. Difficult because it's ingrained in our upbringing, in our... And we become conditioned by that. And it's very, very difficult to rise above. Mm-hmm. But this is our aim. So we cannot rise above by a mental adjustment. Mental adjustment is only preliminary. So by mental adjustment, I'm reminding myself, I'm not Dutch, I'm just a spirit soul. I'm not Dutch, I'm just a spirit soul. I'm not Dutch, I'm just a spirit soul. Right? And thousands of times a day, I remind myself, I'm not Dutch, I'm just a spirit soul. Yes. But that's not going to do it. That will not bring about that state of Sarvupadi Vinaya Muktam. Somehow or other, it is to condition to engage in devotional service, to be sarva upadhi vinaya muktam, to be free from all upadhis. Only if you're free from all upadhis can you engage in devotional service. And only by engaging in devotional service can you become free from all upadhis. Right? It's like that. And one feeds the other. By trying to be free from the upadhis, can we get more serious about devotional service, and then that makes us free from upadhis, and then we can engage again in better quality of devotional service, and then that lifts us more above the upadhis, and more and more. So like this, it's a reciprocation between the two. But this is needed. So yes, the senses of Krishna, made nice arrangements for the senses of Krishna. Yes. Nice, endless arrangements for Krishna's pleasure, great opulence, and nice abhishek. Mayapur abhishek went on for 2 hours. I couldn't sit anymore. I was moving left and right, stretch here, stretch there. I think, oh. But then I met one Prabhupada disciple and said, I was happy when, and to be honest, I was happy when it came to an end, you know, the abhishek, although it was beautiful, when it was over, saying, gosh, okay, now I can walk, now I can move around. But then someone I met later on said, where were the flowers? He said, this year, they didn't offer the rose petals. I said, geez, that's true, they didn't. Yeah. And then it's like, the Brahma disciple said, this is not good, you know. This is not good. I want to talk to them about it. You know, you should also tell them. Yeah. And I was thinking about it. This thing, yeah. Krishna probably also said, where are the rose petals? Because the last times, you know, they're offering rose petals, and yeah, you know, now he got used to it, right? Yeah, you know, if you offer it to him once, then he gets used to it to go, like, hey, where are my rose petals? Gosh, you know, it wasn't the same without, right? Yeah, so, yeah, this Prabhupada disciple had a point. Could see, thinking about Krishna, not thinking from a selfish, a self-centered platform, oh, where are the rose petals, you know, gosh, it looks so nice, I enjoy it so much. No, but Krishna didn't get his rose petals, what's going on here, you know? Mm-hmm. Krishna's different, I want my rose petals, yes, Krishna's definitely like that. Once you start offering something to Krishna, you cannot stop. You cannot think every day Burfi, and tomorrow you think, well, you know, I mean, just no time, just, you know, just offer some raisins. Krishna was like, raisins? Hey, what's that, you know? Where's my Burfi? Where's my Burfi? That's Krishna. He's thinking about his Burfi. He's thinking, you know, and soon it's gonna be Burfi time. Hey, it's coming. You know, and then it's raisins. Look at the bowl. Because he's a person. He's a person. Not a statue, it's vegetarian raisins, you know. It's sweet as well. It says you should offer a sweet. It says on the list, you know, offer Krishna a daily sweet. So, perfectly all right, you know. Rip open the pack and just, you know, rinse them off and plunk them on the plate. Raisins, yay. Of course, you know. If somebody with great difficulty got those raisins, a poor man offering some raisins, oh, then Krishna goes, raisins, raisins, raisins. I mean, we know. And Vidura, you know, actually, Krishna was chosen by Yudhisthira as a messenger, you know, as a messenger to Duryodhana. So Duryodhana heard all about it, Krishna is coming. So Duryodhana arranged this amazing palace. He had it specially built, you know. And he just decked it out with like so many nice things for Krishna to come. So he said, Krishna comes as a messenger. And then when he comes, we put him in this palace. And then he has all the comforts and so on. And then, you know, we'll try and win him over. Mm. And Krishna refused to stay in the palace. He just turned it down. He said, no, Duryodhana, I'll never stay in your palace because you are envious of the Pandavas. I'll never stay. Who are my devotees? I will never stay in your palace. So then instead, he stayed in the house of Vidura. Now, Vidura was not very wealthy. So he stayed in the house of Vidura, you know, simple place. And then there he certainly didn't get such nice offerings. But Vidura offered him some bananas, you know. And Vidura also hadn't expected it, so they didn't prepare anything because Krishna comes on like unexpected, suddenly he's going to stay with Vidura. They had nothing ready, you know, anyway. Offer him some bananas. And then as he's offering him the bananas, he gets so ecstatic of offering Krishna bananas, he gave him the peels. And Krishna happily ate them. That was the amazing thing, that Krishna ate those peels very nicely. And only after Vidura saw the bananas, he came out of his ecstasy, saw the bananas and realized, oh my God, oh my God, Krishna ate the peels. I offered him the peels and he ate them. And Krishna, and he says, apologizing, because no, they're very tasty. Very nice. A very nice offering. I'm very happy with it. Oh, so in this way, how amazing is this devotional service? It's really so transcendental. So it's just about complete dedication. That is what makes a devotee so wonderful. And even a brahmana, even a qualified brahmana, if he's not a devotee, he certainly is to be respected, but ultimately, he cannot stay like that. He cannot stay like that. He's going to lose that qualification. But a devotee just goes from strength to strength, you know, it's getting better all the time. The offerings are increasing, the purity is increasing, that's it. And that's our objective, to increase our chanting, increase our learning, increase our numbers, increase our family, increase the offerings to Krishna. Yesterday was burfi, then, you know, tomorrow maybe cake, who knows? But clad in burfi on the outside. Why not? Yeah, samosas filled with custard and carob coating on the outside. No limit to what we can offer to Krishna. Sounds good, doesn't it? Any questions, any comments?
Well, actually, we see that in this verse, Devasamuni's behavior is described as demoniac, and you were saying that his behavior arises from the bottom of the platform. So after committing that offense, how is it that Devasamuni was able to learn the Vaikuntha?
Because of his extraordinary previous activities, so he's actually very pious, actually a great pious personality. If he historically traces back, he's an expansion of Lord Kripa, of Lord Shiva. And he carried with him undoubtedly an immense wealth of previous pious activities, which had given him all these benedictions, and they were not taken away, even although he acted inimical to the Supreme Lord. And he was still able to go to Vaikuntha, but he couldn't stay there because there was that Sudarshan Chakra behind him. So you can go to Vaikuntha, yes, you have that, you've attained that blessing, and you have deserved it. I will not take it away. But you can't stay because Sudarshan will sort of meet with you. You find something similar to Sukra Acharya. You know, Sukra Acharya, who was such a qualified Brahmana, so pious, so learned, that performs so many pious activities constantly, and the result of his tapas was enormous. But then somehow or other, the daityas needed a priest, and he became the priest of the asuras, but he guided them spiritually correctly. But we see that because he was not a pure devotee of the Lord, he became attached to the facilities that he had, and at one point he advised Bali Maharaj not to give everything to the Supreme Lord, and so on. So basically giving instructions to his disciples to act against the will of the Supreme Lord. And then, so that's all, he became inimical to the Lord. But then afterwards, there is a conversation, you know, after the whole pastime is over, then the Lord meets Sukra Acharya, and in that discussion, the Lord is basically saying, well, Sukra Acharya, weren't you philosophically wrong, you know, like, and then he presents some arguments, and then Sukra Acharya says, yes, you are right, I was philosophically wrong. And then the matter is settled, and he's reinstated, and he's again like, everything's fine, and he's on track again. So you can see these brahmanas are such amazing personalities, and the Lord has that kind of a relationship with them, you know, quite close and intimate. And, yeah. It took a small thing and was corrected. Okay. Everything forgotten. So Devasa Muni also, after the whole thing was forgiven, was reinstated, and again, you know, totally. So the transgression was forgotten, and it's like that. I mean, even Indra became like demoniac when he wanted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. But that was also so written off. Oh, you wanted to kill all my devotees. Forgotten now. Although, you know, after Indra begged forgiveness and so on, Krishna didn't have much time for him, you know. Krishna just accepted and went away and returned to his devotees, because Krishna is eager for the association of his devotees. And although Indra was accepted and forgiven, Krishna was not so eager for his association.
I was just thinking, I might remember incorrectly, but wasn't Ambarish Maharaj basically busy with a festival before Devasa Muni came? Like, many people were there and they were all performing. He was doing puja and he was really ecstatic. So I was just thinking, it's quite amazing that Devasa Muni didn't notice any of this ecstasy going on. So I guess it shows that if you're focused on your own position and what other people are supposed to do for you, you won't be able to recognize something transcendental.
Yeah, he didn't see a transcendental. he saw it all, you know, he is so fixed in his body concept of life, so he just thought, okay, the king is performing, you know, worship, that's what kings should be doing. So, you know, I mean, that's appropriate, it's nice, and he's engaged many brahmanas and others, as kings should do. Kings should very opulently worship, so nice. He's doing some pious activities. He needs it, you know, I mean, he's a fallen soul, but, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, not comparable to me, who is an emblem of piety. I mean, a brahmana, right? You know, an exalted, a brahmana sage, which, you know, who has long performed long tapas, right, and bears the fruits of his tapas. And here I am, you know, a realized sage, right? And it's nice that this king is pious. He's also doing some pious things. That's very good for him and the people. We're all very fallen. Yeah, it's all good for them. And really, they make a lot of advancement and they need it. Yes. And they're very fortunate that I'm here today to grace them, and really, in my causeless mercy. Yes. And then, you know, so everything went really well. I mean, the king, as kings are supposed to, duly received me. And with respect, you know, gave me the respect that was due, and I was satisfied. And, you know, and I went for my bath, but then he made this serious transgression. Like, a total act of disrespect, you know what I mean? He just, you know, and it just showed that that respect was only external. Yeah, that before, it was only ritual. And that he had ritualistically offered me a respectful reception. But it came out that the respect was not there in his heart, you see. And therefore, he just inconsiderately, you know, after fulfilling the external formalities, just dared to break his fast before I broke mine. Whereas obviously, the Brahmins must be fed first. And by not upholding that principle, he showed us true colors. Just see.
So like from, he saw, one sees the world, yeah, with the colors of his eyes. It is Atmanamanyate Jagat. Our consciousness colors our perception, and that's how we see things. Yeah. It's quite interesting, the bodily concept of life and how much it colors our consciousness. And then we see everything like that. Yeah, if we're sarvopadi vinyamottam, to become free from these bodies, trying to be free, and then engage in devotional service. Then the devotional service makes us more free from upadis. Then we can try even more to engage in devotional service. And then we become more free from bodies, and then we can try to engage more in devotional service. And in this way, we gradually become free from bodies, designations. I am, fill in the blank. I'm a professor. I am far out. I am. I'm special. Yes, and as that one devotee said to Prabhupada, I am the most far, Prabhupada said. You are not the most of anything. That's it, we are not the most of anything. Think about that. We always find something to be the most of, you know. There was this musical song, I can do everything better than you can. Okay. Then, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya.
Sarnaskam Kamala Shukam.